Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It is a Sunday, and I hope everyone's enjoyed a lovely roast dinner, or if you don't eat roast dinners, you live elsewhere. I hope you've had something equally as hearty. Maybe if you're in Scandinavia, a nice roll mop and potato snack. And if you are you were in Africa, what was it, sadza? What's that stuff that's like a kind of like a meal, kind of like a heavy kind of like starchy kind of meal?
Not a clue.
Yeah. It's very good though. It's very good. Delicious.
One of the toughest things about living in Japan is the lack of roast dinners or the lack of any cuisine, special Sunday cuisine. I miss that. It's one of the highlights of living in the UK. No doubt about that. And pubs. God forbid. But yes, it's tough. It's tough without that. How have you been though, Pete? You had a good week?
Good, yeah, it's been good. I've been up north for a little bit, went to see the old parents. My dad and mama are as mad as a box of frogs as usual. So yeah, drove up there, came back again. It's been a full week. What about you, Chris? I've heard that you've been spotted in the wild like a Pokemon.
Like a Pokemon. I've had lots of people saying that they were seeing me in some sort of advert on YouTube, which scared me.
Oh, right.
Because I didn't know anything about being on an advert on YouTube. So I thought someone like stole one of my videos and had turned it into an advert for whatever reason to promote something. But a bit of research indicated, or basically someone just sending me a screenshot, that, you know, Curiosity Stream? It's some sort of streaming platform where like, I think it's like educational YouTube channels, aka not the Abroad in Japan channel, have banded together to create some sort of platform. I don't know. But on Curiosity Stream, they are promoting Cat Nation, the cat documentary that I was in 4 years ago. It comes up again. Every time you think it's dead, it pops up again. It can't be destroyed. Again, yeah. It's like Voldemort of documentaries. Cat Nation. God damn it.
And I good old Cat Nation.
Still can't bring myself to watch it. All the reviews. people that like know the Abroad in Japan channel are like, oh, it's great. It's just Chris and some cats. People that don't know the Abroad in Japan channel, who's this smug British prick insulting the cats of Japan?
Just cats.
It's very bad. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you just been so what is it like? Is it in YouTube or out of YouTube? Is it kind of like a, because I've seen some creators are just sort of going, we are tired of like being effed over by the algorithm. If you like our stuff, heading over to something else. So that must be the thing you're talking about.
There's all sorts. There's Curiosity Stream. There's Nebula. I can't keep up with them, but I think the idea is that you kind of have like a subscription model or something where you put your videos behind a paywall. I don't think we'll be doing that in a hurry for the Abroad in Japan channel, but it's weird. And it's weird to see my face on advert. I don't know why they chose Cat Nation. Clearly, it must be doing well. And it's annoying because looking back at it, doing that documentary in 2016, I'm not overly happy with my performance, right? And it's annoying. It just won't die. It won't go away. I'm glad that the producer and the guy that made it, Tim, is getting his money's worth out of it. But at the same time, my having my name and reputation dragged through the mud. Maybe it's not as bad as
a
I remember.
Dirty cat
with a cat.
No. I've only seen little clips of it, but I've never indulged in the full thing. And I'm not signing up to a premium YouTube service just to watch you and a lot of cats, quite frankly. I'm not even that big a fan of cats.
What? Shocking stuff. No, you've got to go and watch it at some point. Go and watch it. Get the Abroad in Japan merchandise from the new Teespring store and wear it and watch the Cat Nation documentary. And that could be your Sunday, Pete. Or what if there was a better way to experience Japan? We've got a story this week from Nicholas. We kick off these podcasts with Story of the Week these days. And Nicholas from Sweden, he says, "Hello guys, Nicholas from Sweden here. First of all, you have my sincerest thanks for always producing quality content and shenanigans in videos and podcasts. Secondly, though, I had a sudden thought in these travel and work restricted times. What if there are other digitally geared methods of sating my hunger for all things Japanese? Turns out, others have thought the same thing. In approximately 8 weeks' time, a Japan simulator is set to be released on Steam. Features include, but are not limited to, watching sumo wrestling, experiencing a tea ceremony, and of course, visiting skyscrapers. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Warm regards, Nicholas." And it looks like the next level above Google Street View. Up till now, I've always just recommended Google Street View as a way to experience Japan from your sofa. It's not quite the same. Clicking slowly but surely down the streets and having various things blurred out. But I still use it to do some research and plan my trips around Japan. But Japan Simulator, have you seen this, Pete? Have you heard of it yet?
I've heard of it, but I thought it'd be like all polygonal and stuff, but it looks like... Is it more video-based? I can't really sort of tell.
It is, yeah. So I've done some research by basically going on Steam. And the only way I could understand what it looked like is the developers, who are called Digital Tours Interactive, the name's a giveaway, they'd previously worked on China Simulator, which I'm assuming is very similar. But there's videos of China Simulator, and it's just like walking down like a street in China with lots of digital people wandering around aimlessly, modelled like a market in Beijing, the one I saw. So what you can do in Japan Simulator, here's a list of things. Features include live in a hotel, experience an internet cafe, visit a manga shop, see Mount Fuji, eat sushi and ramen in a first-person perspective, watch sumo wrestling, and have a full trip routine. So go through an airport and passport checks, life in a hotel. And the little quote says, "In times of quarantine and inability of people to travel, we want to introduce digital tourism opportunities for people to experience a digital trip to a fantasy world. Visit the iconic Shibuya, walk at the atmospheric street markets, and immerse yourself in a new culture, including Tokyo and Kyoto." I think it's quite a cool idea. If they pull it off, I mean, some of the screen grabs they've got are really quite impressive. They've got like a Kaiten revolving sushi bar. They've got Yasaka Pagoda, the infamous pagoda that you see in every photo of Kyoto. They've got that street modelled nicely. I think it could be a cool alternative that's easily better than Google Maps, Google Street View. What do you reckon?
It just sounds like all of the side quests in the Yakuza games that sort of put it, you know, going to eat some sushi, going to an airport, all that stuff, sing karaoke, all that nonsense. But I would say that, like, they've done China. All right, that's finished. They seem to have moved on to Japan very quickly. That's all I'm saying. I think China would probably take a little bit more time than they've actually put in.
It's just a street in Beijing, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, exactly.
What other experiences would you have on Japan Simulator? I think they need a night out with Natsuki, which is just going to a karaoke bar and Natsuki with a guitar, getting drunk slowly but surely, and the screen gets more and more blurred as you drink more and more.
Yeah.
And you have to smoke.
Yeah, you just have to constantly smoke. I think that's the situation. And yeah, and you're just constantly just trying to find more cigarettes or the finances to buy, to get yourself some more cigarettes at every turn, at every opportunity.
What about a snack bar where you have to, or a hostess bar? This is Yakuza, isn't it? I'm just listing off the Yakuza games
just
now.
Just Yakuza, yeah.
I mean, just play that. That's probably better. Although, to be fair, in the game Yakuza, have they mapped like parts of Japan, like Tokyo and Kyoto, accurately?
They have, yeah. They've done like Dotonbori and places like that. Yeah, so they've done little bits and bobs. I don't think they've done because it's obviously some of the titles, most of the titles started on previous generations, but I think Yakuza, I want to say Yakuza 7 is out later this year in the West, and that obviously promises to be the first full-on proper PlayStation 4 exclusive kind of experience, or maybe second, because I think 6 was. But yeah, I'm yet to kind of re-equate myself with Yakuza and Yakuza 6 in particular. But I really need to get back on that, because I never actually got anywhere near finishing that one.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's a lot of YouTube channels around these days where you kind of just wander down a street, right? Someone puts a camera on a gimbal and wanders around. And there's a channel that always comes up for me called Ramblack. And he or she, I don't know who's actually running it, they just put a Panasonic GH5, my camera actually, on a gimbal and just walk around different neighbourhoods. Like, I'm looking at the channel now, they've got Oimachi in Tokyo. They've got I don't know where that is. They've got some sakura trees with cats and lavender. They've got Tama River. They've got Asakusa. And these are all videos that are like 55 minutes long. Some of them are an hour and a half.
Mm.
And they just walk, Ramblack just walks down the street and just says nothing. It's just a kind of meditative experience. And I think that is pretty good. Obviously,
ASMR, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You can't control where you're going, but you are walking around these streets and seeing what they're like. And I think that's a really good way of experiencing Japan, right? And in a non-biased way. Because if it was me doing it, there'd be some sort of snarky, unpleasant commentary of me going, oh, that looks rubbish. Oh, I want to try that. Oh, I want some fried chicken. And that's what it would be.
Yeah.
But I've always thought about doing something like this. Now I've got my new camera. I've thought about just wandering around with it or just leaving it set up for like an hour in a fixed location and just sort of taking it in near a temple or overlooking a street in Tokyo or Kyoto or something like that. I think that could be kind of fun. What do you reckon?
Oh, it looks magical. It's really sort of like dreamy. If you've got a big old telly, I've got a decent sized telly and on more than one occasion when I've been doing a bit of work, I've just, you know, stuck it on in the background. I think there's a little bit. Is there a little bit of music? No, I don't think there is any music. I think it's just kind of like, they just walk through and obviously people who are interested in that kind of thing are like, oh, this is pretty cool and evocative.
Where would you like to see me walk through with the camera? Or where would you like me to just stick the camera and film for like an hour?
A sewer. I'd like you to film a sewer.
Brilliant.
A dirty old Tokyo sewer.
They're probably all that dirty. Have you seen the gigantic sewers just outside of Tokyo, the largest storm drain in the world? It looks like some sort of futuristic.
No, I'd like to.
Have you not seen it? You've got to look at the world's biggest storm drain. It's absolutely huge and cavernous. Go and check it out. That's what you've got to do. Speaking previously of Yakuza, though, there's an interesting story come up this week about the Yakuza. The title is Making a Slow Getaway, Japan's Anti-Yakuza Laws Result in Cohort of Aging Gangsters. It turns out that more than half of all Yakuza members are now over 50 and 10% are over 70 as a result of an aging population. In 2006, 51% of the Yakuza were aged 50 or over. In 2006, the biggest single group of gang members, 30%, were in their 30s, but now they represent just 14% of the total, which is crazy, right? So it means a lot of Yakuza have kind of abandoned the Yakuza as a result of the Japanese government cracking down on them, basically. One of the good things Shinzo Abe's government did is have a nasty crackdown on the Yakuza so they can't do business as easily. Banking has become a lot more difficult. So a lot of them are kind of turning their back on it and realizing there's no benefits to being in the Yakuza anymore. You have to sacrifice a lot to be a gangster, basically. So they've seen numbers plummet, apart from the sort of more elderly, the elderly folks in the Yakuza. So now they're all really old. Yeah, most of the Yakuza are pretty aged. And
I guess it's kind of like, I guess a lot of the jobs of the younger Yakuza is taking the fall when the older Yakuza mess up and they go to prison or whatever. So that's not an attractive way to live your life, is it really?
Absolutely. Yeah. But these days, just less than 5% are in their 20s. I mean, I've never, people often ask me, Chris, have you met anyone from the Yakuza? Have you done anything with them? The answer is no. I think I must have spoken to one at least once without realizing who they were. And I've certainly sat in some onsens in some hot springs and there's been some not heavily heavily tattooed chap sitting nearby looking rather scary. But I've never actually met them one-on-one and people always ask me to go and do a documentary or film them. But it feels like a bit of a leap of faith. If I knew someone that was friends with one, I might be tempted, but I don't know if that's a good idea to have that on my channel. ruin my squeaky clean image by mixing with the Yakuza. Don't think it'd go down too well either. Don't think it'd get my sense of humour. But yeah, they are a dying breed though. Numbers have plummeted in recent years, and I, you know, most people don't have any thoughts of them in Japan, really. Most people are ambivalent, like kind of ambivalent towards their existence because they don't come across them in everyday life. The only place you might encounter them heavily would be Kobe, where the Yamaguchi Gumi are based. But other than that, or in your favourite video game, P. That's the only place.
Exactly. That's the only experience you get.
That is. But yeah, is it in a few decades? It's not a stretch of the imagination to imagine the Yakuza being kind of completely gone altogether. This kind of rate, right?
Well, is this part of the very island nation-y kind of introspective political class? Do we need young foreign Yakuza coming in? Yeah, damn right.
Would you consider joining the Yakuza for a week?
Well, I've already got a lot of tattoos. You do. Not really that arsed about my fingers.
I wonder how they'd feel towards your Monkey Island tattoo. How'd they feel about that?
Exactly. Or Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat. There you go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done and, you know, all of that stuff. I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
You've never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email from David. Hello, David. G'day, Chris and Pete. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and I've been binge listening to them to keep me from going insane while working from home. Given that I am working from home, my hours are a lot more flexible. So I always find myself taking a power nap during the day, which leads me to my story slash question about the nap culture in Japan. I work for a large accountancy firm and I previously worked on a client headquartered in Japan, but had a business in Los Angeles. We worked with our Japanese partner firm on the client, and they would periodically visit us in Los Angeles to review our work. During one of their visits, one of the Japanese managers closed his eyes and dozed off in the middle of a meeting. See attached image. And yeah, he looks like he's absolutely dead to the world, absolutely jet-lagged to hell. None of his Japanese colleagues said or did anything to wake him up, just let him snooze. After the meeting, my boss got really upset because our firm was paying for their trip into LA, and he said, "I paid for this guy to come over here and take a nap. I visit Japan numerous times and I've noticed people will take snoozes everywhere, in temples, clubs, bars, restaurants, etc. Why is napping so prevalent in Japan? I always thought napping was an indication of someone working extremely hard, therefore taking a nap is honourable. Can you provide some insight on this? Take care, lads. David." It's true, you do see people snoozing all of the time and you don't get kicked out of bars for it or restaurants. Just people just let you get on with it. And from my money, it's just overwork and overdrinking.
Honourable nap. I like that phrase. Honourable nap.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, when I worked as a teacher, when I was in the staff room and there was 120 teachers, you'd be working away on something and you'd hear, shh. And like, you know, teachers would look at me and laugh because I'd be like in shock because I'd never experienced such a thing. But it's not uncommon. Teachers would just nap during their time in the staff room. It was very disruptive and very annoying. But there was also a nap room as well where you could sneak off. And on certain occasions, if I was a little bit hungover, because often you'd go out for like a staff party and then you'd still have to go to work the next day, I would just sneak into the staff room, which had like a tatami mat area. And you could like lay down there and just sleep, basically, which felt really surreal. Imagine like doing two classes in the morning and then just sneaking off and having a nap for an hour. Waking up really disorientated and then going in and teaching another class. It was really weird. And I didn't do it that often. But
perfect.
It isn't looked down upon, though, because that culture in Japan, that work culture, the quality of your work isn't really important. It's your presence at the workplace, right? They evaluate how good a worker you are by your presence. And you've just got to be there at the meeting or at the workplace. And, you know, even if you are napping on the job, it doesn't matter because you're there at work. You're still able to be accessed. People can still call upon you for help and whatnot. And so it's a really weird aspect of the culture, right? That's why Japan is well known as being this hardworking place, but yet also coincidentally or paradoxically, it's got quite low worker efficiency, right? Worker efficiency rates are pretty low compared to the US in particular. So, yeah. People can nap, people can sleep, and not sure how I feel about it. And even my students would nap during the class, and often teachers, we were told before we before we started teaching, we had a little bit of a training session in Tokyo for like 3 days. Mm. And one of the things I was told was don't wake up a napping student, get the teacher to do it, because the students have very intensive lives and you don't know their environment at home. They might not be sleeping enough. Right. So you were told just leave them, really. And the teacher would wake them up on their own. They would do it themselves. And that was quite a surreal situation as well. But they, you know.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Students have outside of school, they have a lot of curricular activities in Japan where Monday to Friday after school, you will be doing your sport or your other, you know, you'll be doing your extracurricular activity for an extra 2 hours. And that would be a massive part of your schedule. And so I guess that is another reason why they're allowed to nap. But yeah, very surreal. So I'm not surprised, but I love the photos of this guy just asleep in the meeting. That's a pretty bold move. Given that he's in the meeting, he travelled all the way to LA for this meeting and had the audacity to nap. They should teach people.
Jet lag.
Well, I mean, jet lag is, so he must have slept on the plane. What was he doing on the flight? Isn't it like a 12, 13-hour flight to LA? It's 11 hours, I think.
Well, yeah, exactly, but still.
No.
It's not ideal, is it?
Unacceptable. Fire that man. From Michael. Says, hey, Chris and Pete. While in previous episodes, you brought up that faxes were still used in the future. In Back to the Future 3, did you also know that the infamous Bakari Sweat made a cameo, i.e. product placement? I came across this CNN article titled The Sweat You Drink, Inside the Meteoric Rise of Asia's Answer to Gatorade. And there are several gems in the article. Apparently, the company that makes Bakari Sweat, and Michael's listing off some facts now, the company that makes Bakari Sweat is called Otsuka Pharmaceutical. The pharmaceutical part makes you think about Bakari Sweat in a new light. Well, yeah, I mean, it is made by a pharmaceutical company. I don't know what else they make, but they do make Bakari Sweat. The second point, the beverage is to many Asians what Gatorade is to Americans and Lucozade is to the British. And number three, he says, Bakari Sweat also became known as a form of first aid in Indonesia, apparently. And the fourth point, he says, is the aim of Bakari Sweat was to make a tasty, drinkable IV. There are more gems to be found in the article, so I'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Michael. I think Michael there. I mean, he's right, though. Bakari Sweat is more than just a drink. It is seen in this kind of almost medical manner. Because Otsuka Pharmaceutical is the manufacturer, I guess it lends that theory some credibility. I remember drinking Lucozade back home. Whenever I was sick in the UK, just drink Lucozade, right? It gives you the energy. It's just pure glucose in a bottle, which I imagine isn't as healthy or as good for you as many people would have you believe. But it's said quite clearly on the side of the Lucozade, this is not this is not to be prescribed as medicine or something, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember, and I had a mate who used to start every day when he started every single day. He was a bit overweight, and he went to it was like a radio feature. A doctor came on and said, "All right, okay, so how are you?" Or maybe a dietitian. He sort of said, "I do this and I do that," and she went, "Oh, that seems quite healthy." And he goes, and obviously I start the day with a bottle of Lucozade. She's like, why are you drinking a bottle? He's going, yeah, because when you wake up, it's just like, it's like really, really something, lovely. But it's like, you're just huffing Lucozade in the morning. It's insane behaviour.
I mean, Bakari Sweat and Lucozade are kind of different, aren't they? Lucozade is like a glucose drink. Mm. It's basic. Well, I don't know what's in it. Is it basically just sugar or something?
It's just sugar, yeah. It's just sugar. Glucose and sugar. You used to get the tablets as well. I used to enjoy having the Lucozade tablets. You used to just eat them at one after the other. Disgusting.
Me too, actually. Yeah. Similar, an addiction there in common. I mean, Gatorade, I imagine. Off the top of my head.
It's the same, but
it's definitely
the same. But it's not fizzy, I don't think. Lucozade had a very specific kind of orangey flavour, didn't it? That was the classic Lucozade. But they obviously flirted with different things. And their version of Lucozade is like Lucozade Sport, which isn't fizzy. So, because you don't want to drink something fizzy if you've just been running around, you want a flat drink. Mm. So, yeah, Lucozade Sport's like a Gatorade kind of version of that.
Yeah, I mean, Bakari Sweat is different from Lucozade in that Bakari Sweat is for basically just rehydration, right? It is just salt in a bottle. It's just loads of salts in a bottle. Yeah. And it does work. Like, if you ever feel dehydrated, particularly in summer, it's a godsend to have on hand Pekari Sweat. It's such a nice, easy way to rehydrate yourself. And I remember I was addicted to it for a small amount of time, especially in the summer, because it does, you need it to get on through the weather.
Yeah.
It's got a nice lemon taste as well. Are you a fan of Pekari Sweat, Pete? Are you a fan?
Love Pekari Sweat. I mean, it's up there with Calpis for me. But yeah, Pekari Sweat is just so kind of like, if you're out and about and busy on a holiday, and you're feeling less than, you know, you're not feeling great and you're feeling a little bit under the weather, so thanks to heavy drinking the night before, Pekari Sweat is just another level. It's so good.
Another level. It is good. And I think one of the main things is just the name, right? I still remember being shocked and surprised to find a drink with the word sweat in the title. It's a bold move. It would be so interesting to see how Pekari Sweat would do if it was in the UK. Would people actually pick it off the shelf? Because it would evoke the image of sweat, wouldn't it? And but yeah, it's still not stopped me from drinking it all these years here. Non-believers, traitors, would rather drink Aquarius, though, the Coca-Cola version of Pekari Sweat. Have you had Aquarius?
Oh, yes. Not as good, though. Not as good.
It's not. It's less salty and it's less medical. And it's not a pharmaceutical company on it, so it can't have any medicinal qualities. But it's kind of more flavourful. It's more lemony. But yeah, Aquarius, Pekari Sweat, the heated battles there of getting rehydrated. Keep the stories, comments, questions coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Wednesday. Do it all over again, guys. But for now, enjoy what's left of your weekend and we'll see you right back then on Wednesday. Have yourself a good one.
Tally bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.